We're trying something different. My special guest, Stu Webb, a very famous, very noted whistleblower, is going to simulcast. Stu, why don't you take the helm?
Well, I'd say thank you for being on my show as well. We're doing a simulcast there, and between the two of us. And, of course, my show's on Revolution Radio, and you can watch your site, but mine is on StuWebb.com. And I have the honor of having Professor James Fletcher, an ex-Marine captain, University of Wisconsin professor. This guy knows his stuff, folks. He's nailed a few things. There are a couple other things I've kind of disagreed with him over the years. We all have our agreements on subjects and disagreements. Because what we're all facing is so bizarre, off the charts, false flags, attacks on Americans, attacks on our constitutional rights, First Amendment, Second Amendment, murders, and people in the Justice Department just sit up and laugh at us because they're in charge. And been that way since Danny Bush arrived as CIA director and compromised everybody in 1975. And really, it was the old OSS. But we can talk about this for 2 hours easily. And I'm honored to have you on with me, and I'm honored to be on your show, Jim. We've been friends for a long time.
We certainly have, Stu, and you've made so many contributions to exposing the corruption of the deep state. It's a real pleasure to have you here today, my friend. Why don't you give us a recap of some of your latest research and revelations?
Well, I can tell you this. We've all been students, I think, with Donald Trump. And I'm calling President Donald Trump with the respect for that. But he won't be removed along with the rest of us, as far as I'm concerned, the next morning. If there's enough on the side of the ex-Marines, we could take over the whole place without a problem. And we would have the military on our side. And I have talked with some high-level people that I've, come to know over the years, folks. I remember I was locked up in 1992 with over 1,500 Iranian Contra players, including Bo Abbey. You can find him on YouTube/StuWeb1. He was the one I was locked up with, DEA pilot, they compromised. I was locked up with the guy that captured Noriega, Bob Hunt. Many of these people's names appear in the Father America. I've contributed 15 books. My name appears, I think, in 5. And two of them, the Mafia, CIA, and George Bush. I was in prison at the time, but it was released in 1992. So I didn't want to be too famous in the book. And the Father America, I asked Ryan, he says, how many pages, I said, how many lines do you have on me while I was in there when they went to print? He says, I got 2.5 pages on you, and only got 1.5 on both of your ass fighters. I said, Ryan, you start calling me out. You tell me it's going to print. I just got you the money to get it printed. I made a phone call, Eckert, of Contact Newspaper. He financed the book, okay? And I gave the man credit. He's dead now, and he was the one that, made contact with Donald Trump pertaining to 9-1-1.
Well, Stu, it's most interesting because although I have great reservations about his foreign policy with respect to the Middle East and his deference to Israel, claiming that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, claiming the Golan Heights belong to Israel, designating the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization, unfunding the UN Commission for Refugees that has been supporting the Palestinians. But on other grounds, I thought he's doing quite a good job calling out the fake news media. The economy is stronger. Unemployment is down. Tell me your critique of Donald Trump.
Well, here's what I think. I supported him and anything keep the Hillabeast out or the Bushes or any of them. Hillabeast, Hillary Clinton, I call her Hillabeast. Keep those riches and whatever they are out of power. They had to be stopped. I believe that Donald Trump was not ordained or any of that to do it. But I believe that there are times that God rises people up. And I think he was risen up for this in my own personal opinion. Now, that was the reason I supported him so heavily and pushed for him to be president. Believe me, I think I brought him a little bit of audience because I do get about 1 million a month and in audience. I wish I had a buck from everyone for contributions I'm supposed to cause to that. But, anyway.
Well, Stu, I didn't get what you take to be your bottom line.
Here's the point. The numbers is not only did Trump get a lot of support from me and a lot of support of a lot of people that I know, we probably brought him, Jim, including yourself. Let's look at reality here for a minute. I've been doing this for 35 years. I'm the oldest living whistleblower other than Terry Reed, who only lives about 30 miles from me. And I did have lunch with him all the years ago. He can't. You know, he did a deal with the government after stuck the bullet to his wife's head as they're sitting there telling him they're going to pull the trigger. Take you 200 grand, go down the road, we'll give you $50,000 business, go away, shut up, and you're ready to sell your book, but you can't do any shows. Now, nobody else is alive. And they're knocking off, they just knocked off some congressperson or senator, whichever it was. Collins was the name, not a name, was somebody, I forget that word. Anyway, Collins of Arkansas was nailed because why? She was going back in the old, what do they call it, Department of Something records pertaining to the children. And she's finding all the stuff on Hillary. She was suicided recently. And then the guy that turned over the laptop, who was an investigator for the state to the Attorney General's office, state of New York, he was whacked. He was suicided. It's always a gunshot, folks, to the head. And then after they pulled the trigger and he didn't quite die, and he was still trying to shoot at him or something, they stick it to your face after they shoot you behind the ear where it spins around your skull. Here's another point. But the second one is always a car crash. Now, you take all the doctors. Anybody can really investigate this. When William Casey died, because Otis Johnson was his assistant, he was top NSA, kept us safe at night. He's a personal friend of mine. I met him in Denver, Colorado, in the prison out there, because his roommate was the one that busted John Gotti, and he busted Louisiana governor. He's quite famous back then. He did all kinds of secrets for the government. I got to know him, and he was trying to bust Bush Senior, along with William Casey, and as they stuck Casey in the head with a needle, and that was the end of William Casey, CIA director, who's going to testify against Daddy Bush about all his Iran contract activity and how he just stole the government and took control of it and the whole nine yards. He lays dying for 8 to 10, 12 days, whatever it is, at Bethesda. They closed the floor above him and below him for security reasons. Otis was allowed to see him, and so was someone else, along with Daddy Bush. But here's the point. All the nurses and doctors were suicided, either with gunshot to the head once or twice, and car crashes. And they died in rollovers. That's how they suicide everybody.
Yeah, but Stu, that's all about the Clintons. I was thinking about your case
again. That is Daddy Bush. That's the big boys, everybody.
Yeah, the Clintons and the...
Go back to your original question. Trump stepped into a pile of crap. A huge pile, if he was real, and they neutralized him because of the people around him. I believe you looked at the Middle East and you spoke of it. Christians should be outraged to think, what does the Bible say in there? It's in Daniel about this. And it's about Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. Then the Antichrist comes on. He calls himself to be God. Look at Kirchner, Jerry Kirchner, Ivanka Trump's husband. She said, oh, I gave her Christianity up for because of my husband and our children. He's an Orthodox Jew. Here's the problem that I've been trying to teach people on, and they can come to stuweb.com and click on the radio bar at the top, and they can hear some of the programs of Joe and Shirley. They are two of the top around. Sometimes you have to visit with them by phone, Jim. Great people, you can hear the shows, maybe an hour, hour and a half long. They laid it out about Christianity and how we've been all fooled along the way. We are God. We are the power of God. Because Christ says, I lead you with the Holy Spirit. The problem is, all of us have been out here on our own trying to get God instead of all doing together and playing this crap off of us. I'm seeing a moral awakening that I've never seen. I've prayed for this day that I would be able to see this, Jim. Change coming down the throat. You see, 13 states, I believe, has now passed anti-abortion. Missouri was one of them recently. I thought they did a good job. We've got some good congressmen and senators that have stepped up to the plate. That's something I missed over the years. in the 2008 to 2000, from 2010 up to 2009 time frame, anyway, a lot of patriotic people came played with morals. We're starting to see it. Like our gun rights here in Missouri, hey, you carry a concealer without a permit. Hey, if you're a school teacher, you carry a concealer, but you need to go to a classroom and learn how to shoot somebody, okay? And do it right instead of hitting one of your students. But you can carry a concealer. They passed that about a month ago. I'm seeing it with that 5G. I had a no-shot, Amber. We're in a program, 38 years of age, whole neighborhood out in Bakersfield, they're all in their 30s, 40s. These women are having normal periods, and all of a sudden they saw 5G and they got two periods for them. Now I'm here 6 weeks later, we got yesterday or the day before, I got to give it up, but there's, I don't know how many counties and cities it was. It was like 30 or 40 of them filed a class action lawsuit against the government to stop 5G. It's radiation, it is a microwave, and it's killing the people, and it's changing our systems. For women to have two beers a month, we got to stand up. It's just like over here in any place in Missouri, right here where I'm at. They stood up about 2 months ago and said, no, you're not going to put smart meters in the houses and in the fence within a year. And a bunch of citizens got together under pain, and I am. And what they do, they got a signature to put a halt to that. Within 2 weeks, and it was covered on the news. I'm starting to see the local news starting to change a little bit. I'm starting to see an awakening, Jim. You and I dreamed of for years. I call it my wet dream, ladies, okay?
Well, Stu, that's fantastic. I'm absolutely ecstatic to hear that. That's wonderful, wonderful news. I've been terribly worried about all the false flags designed to motivate the removal of our right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment. Because, Stu, you know, once they take our weapons, we are goners. We are done.
I got my 9mm in my pocket right here. And believe me, I have an extra magazine loaded. And it's called an SCCY. And I guarantee you, if you hear it go bang, I just popped one in the chamber, you're dead.
Yeah, no, that's all good, Stu, but the fact is you're not the problem. The fact is that Democrats are trying to move for gun control in such a massive way. This guy, Eric Swalwell, has even talked about using nukes on American citizens who resist giving up their guns.
Here's what I see. I'm hearing this gun crap, and I don't play into it anymore. I don't give this negative energy to these false flaggers and all this stupid. Just like Tom Higgins, Leo Walters, Gordon Ducks, a.k.a. Bob Brooks and Veterans Today, and all these stooges. You know what I'm talking about. You were there. You got screwed. You left because of me, and I thank you for that. So because of a couple other people, I thank them for it. But it's all stooge game. They infiltrate you and me. The noisemakers, the people out here that are fighting for our patriotic rights, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, First, Second Amendment, and every other amendment that we have. And there's a hell of a lot of laws on the books that shouldn't be, and they need to be changed. I think that's coming. But I'm seeing a movement now in a way that is just like, okay, you can't do this any longer. I'm not going to allow it. And I think God's hand is moving. I keep telling people to pray. I think people are really praying. I think the Holy Spirit's waking things up. Just like last night I heard on the local news, and she was laughing, I forgot her name, but her father, I talked to him years and years ago, back in the late 80s, and now she's a broadcaster on KCTV5 here in Kansas City. His daughter, never met her, but her father I talked to back way back during BCCI and Silverado time frame, and he couldn't touch stuff. But I saw her make a statement, just kind of laugh it off, you know, supposedly, we're going to be hit, according to European Space Agency, whatever the hell that is, whichever country is, claiming on September the 9th, I believe they said, we would be hit by an asteroid, planet Earth. Is that going to happen? We got a lot of rocks coming at us. And my buddy Otis Johnson, who was Casey's right-hand man, he used to keep us all safe, folks. And as he said, Steve, we just put one of the saucers up there, and he says, we'll go out there, put a little rocket on, attach to it, and drill it, and bring it all together. And then we just... And it brings it between us and the moon. And so that's the reason the last one did, case. Now, so sometimes Tom Hennigan used to bring good information. He turned into stooge for money. I guess he didn't like Pete. One is, he says, oh, my friend, she told you so. I know who she is. Claims to go, that they send the USS, I mean, everybody breaks the call and blasted an underwater alien base with 150 saucers in it, where he shot down a French airliner. This is about 4 or 6 years ago, whatever it was. And it was your fault, crap. Well, you know, this next morning I'm hearing this crap, and or late in the evening, but they're going in it. On the next morning, you know, I get a call from, oh yeah, they gave him 150 saucers to kill that. Okay. So I called over to him. And I knew, you don't ask questions like, how's your weather, Otis? Are you doing okay? I'll just say, are you okay? Say, yeah. What is it you need? I'll tell him. He says, well, yes. He says, they did go in and hit his saucer base underwater, alien base. But he says they only got 10 saucers. And he says, the reason I know that is because I sent them to such our squad. And he says, I didn't even call and wake the president up. Now, he was in the city books. So I could get a lot of things, including, yes, you're on the list in 2004, Stu, being stoned out and six other people in Kansas City, being shot with the Westfire series of satellites, steal the elections, Daddy Bush, Inslaw, and the burnable lasers, and all the shit they've got now. And we're going to have a heavy discussion on that. You'll love the new toys, Jim. But this was then. It's all led to now. And in 81, it says it all. 1981, the General Accounting Office came out and said that 1% of the population only controlled 20% of the GDP, or whatever they call it, the economy. Straight across the board. The General Accounting Office, which is the watchdog of the U.S. Congress, because I've dealt with them, talked to them, they investigated some of my stuff, and actually brought it before Congress. But they have no prosecutorial power, but they can carry guns in case they need to, and that's. And what do they find? They get most of their information from the U.S. Treasury, Comptroller, Currency, etc. And what do they say? They said that in June of 2012, the General County Office reports to the U.S. Congress that 400 men now control 95% of the U.S. economy. That means us, all of us out here, the other, what is it, less than 99, or more than 99%, are only controlling how much is it, 5%? How much of that is artificial anyway? All financial fraud. And if you look at the pension funds, Larry Mizell, the one who took over from my ex-father-in-law, who took over from Meyer Lansky, it was from Meyer Lansky, then Leonard Norman and Lucky Luciano, and then when Lucky died, Norman got it all the power financial, with Canada, the biggest bank, all that, that owns Great West Life Insurance in Denver, which is the largest bank in the world, HSBC Bank out of Great West Life. And Great West Life, he controls 44% of the U.S. pension funds and bought it from J.P. Morgan about 4 years ago. And it's in Overland Park, Kansas, across the state line from me. Now, who owns the other 48%, roughly 44-48, they're estimating, Fidelity Financial in Denver, which is Danny Bush's CIA counsel, Norman Brownstein, and Larry Mizell, who went to school together in Boulder, Colorado, Law School, and Norman started Mizell in the construction of apartments and HUD deals. That he was getting money out of HUD. And he built most for him. NBC Holdings, Richmond American Homes, one of the largest builders in the entire country. Okay? The fraudster. He's an APAC director. Norman Brownstein became one of Norman's attorneys. Then he became Daddy Bush's CIA counsel, six of them at CIA. One case pulls them all together. That Donald Trump was for real, and the United States Department of Justice for real. This is a groundbreaking case, the Jack DeVoe case out of Florida, where he was caught flying a Cessna full of cocaine during Iran-Contra criminal Jack DeVoe, U.S. military intelligence Jack DeVoe. And what happened? He got his freedom in exchange. Leave the country and we won't put you in jail for landing a Cessna full of cocaine at Miami International Airport. Now, that case was the only case in history. We see all six CIA counsel, Brownstein, Mottoli, the second one, Brownstein's son was nailed for security fraud about 5 or 6 years ago. Never went to jail. The New York Attorney General was involved in the prosecution of the SEC and so forth. He got a leg bracelet, kept at his house for 6 months or something, bought the Bank of California with the stolen friggin' money. Bought the state of California, or the Bank of California, he bought it with a stolen loot that he was looted with his partner, and his partner even admitted, Brownstein himself, Norman, his son's father, out of Denver, the lawyer, told him to do it. Brownstein was never charged. The Denver connection is a major connection. It's one of the 12 Illuminati's, the 12 disciples of Satan, called David Rockefeller. He used to be Lawrence Rockefeller, then he became David. David Rockefeller, Meyer Rothschild, Patrick Wu, China, likes to live in Dallas, controls China. Angela Venturi, the head rabbi of Israel. You have Pope Benedict that had to resign his Pope Elon position because he was caught by German intelligence for raping kids over there. Then you had, Paul Warburg, that Bill Grace. By the way, everybody thinks that Queen Elon is charged all this stuff. She answers to Bill Grace. I know things. A lot of people don't know I know. When you're locked up with 1,500 colonels, captains, even a general, and you're locked up with super spooks who are trying to bust some of the same ones that were in Denver holding tanks to make the disguise for the purpose of testimony against the others and to be in protective custody. You need some interesting characters. As Daddy Bush is going out the door trying to have everybody arrested, over 5,000 people. Shut up, me, the whistleblower, other whistleblowers, but mainly the Iran-Contra players. I met these people here. I was locked up with them, Siberia, USA, Springfield, Psych Ward, saying I was incompetent to be a trial for terroristic death threats to my ex-in-law and my ex-rich doctor, Terry Norman, and Leonard Norman, and Elaine Norman. It never happened. Okay? Now, those recordings are up on my internet site. You judge, folks. Yeah, I made some phone calls. Is there any terroristic death threats? No. Go listen to conversations. They're up on my website. You know, scroll down the column on breaking news. I think I posted up about 2 months ago. We're being clear and understand since that's an always a low face of federal charges. The case was dismissed with prejudice after holding me for 10.5 months. But I got dumped in there and I didn't want to be there. And I tell you what, God did something really strange. A judge's son died that night of a carbolic Clorox poured down his throat. I gotta take a break about getting rid of this other crap judges this morning from Feinstein, Fine Silver, to him to become Richard Mitch. And Mitch's daughter was killed shortly after my release on another case that he was involved in. By accident. He was a good guy. But he said, screamed at the U.S. prosecutor's office for holding me for 10.5 months and wasted $750,000 taxpayers' money. I was impressed. And I got a good judge here. He's missed the case. So I've been on a path, proverbial path, all because I married into the crime syndicate. And I was told me all the lot. I stole several savings. Lincoln Savings was part of BCCI and the Outlaw Bank, which y'all from Bay, Time Magazine. I helped get Al Martin's book with his stories printed, found an author to print it, found somebody to finance it, and everything, with Rodney Stitch's book, Defrauding in America, The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush by Peter Burns, another good read. I gave chapter Silverado and the Chicago connections in there. My name doesn't appear, and Al Martin's name did appear. But he gave him quite a bit of stuff as well. So, I've been around the proverbial block and probably done 5,000 radio shows. Now, I know you've done a hell of a lot of work, too. And you've done it for a number of years here. In all kinds of different ways. So I want you to tell everybody your background as well. And what this stuff is with this Alex Jones setup stooge game he's been doing to you with this lawsuit over this false flag operation they had running.
Well, Stu, it's mixed when we have two audiences, because mine is very well familiar with the development of the Sandy Hook lawsuit, Posner versus Fetzer, where I'm being sued for allegedly defaming a fake Sandy Hook parent by describing the death certificate he gave to a research colleague, Kelly Watt, as a fabrication. Now, because truth is an absolute defense in defamation, and because there's a mountain of proof that indeed the death certificate is a fabrication, I expect to be exonerated from this case and to prevail. But, you know, Stu, you have had such a rich and varied experience. I know my audience is going to have a lot of questions for you, my friend. It's a fascinating situation we're in.
Well, I'll be happy to answer any questions, Jim. At any time, you know that.
Well, we take the calls at the second hour, Stu, so we'll be taking callers at the second hour, where I might as well announce the number 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. And, of course, anyone in your audience can call in as well. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell, my producer, will take your call. And if he can't get you on the air immediately, he'll call you back.
And I want to say something about Revolution Radio. It is a good network, folks, and there's a lot of good people there, okay? I was there once, okay? Made a lot of mistakes over the years, especially about the play being played on me by Henry and Gordon Duff, a.k.a. Bob Footy, and Little Walter. We live and learn, Jim. We live and learn. But I just had my computer blown down where I do my recordings into, folks. For some reason, it went toasty. They do this a lot to me. So apparently I just got shot down here while we were having this discussion. So I'll ask for a copy of the radio show so I can publish it for tomorrow, Jim.
You're telling me you've been taken off the air even while we're on the air here?
Yeah, I was blasted here. They blew my computer down again. They have a bad habit of doing that.
Stu, that's unbelievable.
It takes about 4 hours to get back up and repair everything. But who knows? I wouldn't hook up the Wi-Fi. This just because the phone's here.
Have you been paying much attention to the massive censorship by the social media giants, Stu, and how they're taking out thousands of YouTubes, blogs, the whole bit, on the grounds of hate speech?
Oh yeah, that's one of the reasons I've gone to total, with my own on my own server of my own shows, and I'm recording them and good sound and everything, and I'm doing it by phone. But this is the way I'm operating, so I'm not live. You know, it's pre-recorded my programs. But the only place you can get them is that comes StuWeb.com, and at the top it says Radio StuWeb Radio. Just click on it, click on the bar, and it's the latest radio shows. Run down and listen to them. I'm trying to bring the truth to American people and what the hell is going on, okay? I think by bringing some of the 5G and all, and they knew what we were going to do, I think squish people. You know, Jim, it's amazing sometimes what the spread of truth does. And sometimes God moves in, and I've been waiting for him to see things. I mean, I'm not an end-time thumper or anything like that. I don't even say that. But I'm telling you what. All of us combine these people up, we can get rid of this. Now, if you were to go back and talk to me and ask me about Donald Trump, I support him, I defend him. I think he's still stooged. He's naive, or we've all been stooged. Either way, whether he gets arrested, or the entire Congress or Senate gets arrested in the end result, or whether recalls would happen, and I do have that, and the recall petition, which was very effective on two former congressmen in Colorado, got them out of office, Congresswoman and man, for taking away people's, or trying to take away their Second Amendment right to carry a weapon and to keep a weapon. It was effective. The whole thing's like a story. The recall petition itself, all you have to do is fill in blanks, pay about $150, and they'll recall you congressmen and senators. Nancy Pelosi is a frigate drunk. She's on cocaine or something. By the way, she's not a Catholic. She claims to be a Christian. She's a Jew, folks. And her father was answering to Lucky Luciano and doing business with him. Buck Feliciano was a partner to Leonard Millman and Meyer Lansky. Okay? She's a fraudster. Her whole financial empire is a fraud. You want to know where it's at, Jim? Her payoff? The winery. The winery. All anybody has to do is go back and examine her winery. Mr. President, Trump, would you take that from Sue Evans and have the Justice Department do something about it? Look at her winery. If people want to do something about it, just go start digging in her winery. Look at what it owns. Also, stock in what? Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, no one knows. Look at some of the winery. That's how she got paid off.
A winery.
Jim, I know what that is, but...
Well, I'm listening, Stu. I'm trying to put the pieces together. It appears to me Nancy Pelosi, like Chuck Schumer, like Hillary Clinton, like a host of the others, were deeply involved in Pizzagate. I can't believe that isn't a subject that's being discussed widely, at least on the alternative media.
Okay, yeah, and I understand, because the aliens and the influence of these little 12 have over the economy and the control of the media in this country and buying up. And when they bought it up was in the early 90s, folks. You know, all this other development way back, they were only for years, pretty much, but not totally. But it was in the 90s when they moved into Hollywood, and Seagram 7 Groffman, Israeli Mossad, he goes in and moves in. He was Larry Marzell, my ex-father-in-law's future alien-possessed human being that's going to fall behind him with the 12 Illuminatis. They both, Millman had bought up ABC, Brockman bought up, I forgot which it was, but it was one of the other ones in Hollywood, and Mickey Mouse went to ABC and all that. Eisner was the guy for the front, the buffer for Millman. They call them cutouts, fronts, buffers. They're really called buffers. Meaning the shit stops the jerky, not mine. I'm only financing, set me up the whole bit. That's the way they did it. But they took over Hollywood, and they took over the media. And then they came in with the first one was a movie to make them famous. And that was the James Lyons, Hillary Clinton's and Bill Clinton's attorney of record during his impeachment proceedings and other activity in Arkansas. James M. Lyons, who sat on the board of directors of NBC Holdings of Denver, the parent company of Richmond American Homes I spoke of earlier. It's also the parent company of Silverado Satan's Law. Neil Bush, the director, while his father was president of the United States, and Stu Webb blew him out of Frederick Channel, caused a congressional investigation in his ass, blew him down. That made him mad. That was one of the reasons they decided to lock me up. That HUD scandal, Denver Airport, foreign back-to-back cheating fire, they called it, they dug. Now, you talked about the media. They had total control. But Air Force One was James Lyons' son. They did his first movie, and they moved in. And the reason they moved in is Daddy Bush signed an executive order in May or June of 1992. Because Sarah McClendon and I both talked about it long before her death. Back at that time, and she wrote about me in a newsletter, and nobody would print it and come to Rustbacher and others. They were targets of FBI, you know, I hear from it for a year, Jim. Did a lot of radio shows, 70 of them, was with, you know, what was his name? Chuck Carter used to put me on all the time. Anyway, making a lot of noise. But James Lyons' son bought up all the radio networks from the executive order that he was signed in 1992 in May or June, saying it was no longer, could just one person have ownership in three, or a corporation couldn't have more than two or something ownerships of radio stations in America. This was to keep radio free, speech free, and not controlled. Daddy Bush signed the executive order so they could take them over. Who took it over was Viacom. James M. Lyons' son. James M. Lyons was an attorney for Bill and Hillary Clinton. The Denver connection. Who laundered Bill and Hillary's $2.5 billion of drug money from Iran-Contra? The Denver connection. Part of it went through M&L Business Machines, which, Mr. President, if you were listening, this is the Justice Department, it was part of a sting operation that Ross Gross set up. He was anointed and appointed by Ronald Reagan after he got shot by Hinckley. He was having a birthday party with Neil Bush that night after his brother shot the president and the whole thing. But that connection is still the connection today. It just grew bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger. Hillary laundered her money. Ross Perot, back for a moment. Ross Perot had set up his sting operation when he left the CIA as one of six people as an oversight committee over the Central Intelligence Agency after getting a shot. I know that to be true because I talked to him. Aside from the FBI, he's giving you information. He was even trying to get William Webster, he threatened the FBI director, to take the heat off me, and they ended up cracking him over it when he made a statement about it and broke his arm. I mean, it was serious shit, Secret Service. But Ross Perot, he's talking to him aside from the FBI. We set up this operation later, staying in Denver, because he saw the guns and drugs, and he set up a 150-man team, and they went out. If the president would look at it, it's under national security seal today. Remember, Mike Sandoval paid $80 million, never went to jail, and he bribed, I think it was 150 U.S. senators, congressmen, judges, federal judges, state judges, FBI agents and others, DEA and others, and they had the evidence of the money laundering the whole bit. None of these agents or anybody got burned. The only person who got burned was former Mayor Fred Rabel-Pena, little faggot, who had become, after a vote paid for and bribed by Phil Wynne, he never went to jail on a HUD scale because of destruction. That was an NBC Holdings director. Mayor Fred Rabel-Pena had to resign position Secretary of DOD at the time. He'd been Secretary of Transportation underneath Clinton as his cutoff for voting for the Denver Airport, besides his $2.5 million, but they nailed him, and listen, champ, you believe this. He got $2.5 million in bribes from Leonard Norman, my father-in-law. The one controlling the operation, all these people I'm talking about, the Jewish mob. Okay? And what did he have to pay in a fine? $1.5 million. He got to keep $1 million of his bribe. That's how bizarre this is. And he was here when he was school. Nobody got touched. Where are all these FBI agents? So everybody took the bribes out of the movie theater. I'm the only guy here that I'm aware of. The case number is 95Y107, filed in U.S. Federal Court in April 1st, 1995, asking for a U.S. federal grand jury who a judge ordered me to appear before another judge in my own testify because of many judges in his district being involved, and that was Richard Mitch, honest judge. And he told me to go before the one in Wyoming. I testified grand jury room. He said, oh, wants a grand jury. So he tells the U.S. attorney to do his job, and they anthrax me and Al Martin in the conversations folks heard up underneath blast from the past. Al Martin and the U.S. attorneys and everybody, I put them up recently. Those are old recordings. I decided, hey, it's time for justice. The judge ordered him to allow me to appear before the grand jury. When 1997, when I was asked to come on the M&L case, I went to the grand jury, and here's these two FBI students. One of them was Mark Horslaw of the FBI. He's in one of the recordings up on my site now, under Blast from the Past, where he's obstructing justice with Peter Kowalczyk and Gulf War Center that they had sold to Iraq illegally through Israel. The Denver connection once again, contaminating Colorado River, contaminating Lake Mead with Gulf War, deformed fish. They blamed it on Red Tide. Red Tide on the coast of Florida, where ants were Barbudi, the international terrorist, living in Akamal, Jordan, downtown as a coffee merchant. So if anybody wants to find him, get him, they know where he is. Died on the Interpol records twice. He contaminated that East Coast down there, where they were mixing up cherry juice, they called it, in Boca Raton Airport at the warehouse owned by L. Milton and M. Bush, Neil Bush, on the deed. And Neil Bush still operates out of the Hollywood Airport, folks. There's a hangar there. And one agent that was loading up cash and taking out his trunk, it was in Springfield, locked up. So me, he said, I unloaded the trunk. He said, I opened up the doors and money started falling out. He said, I had to pick up about $2 million to get the doors closed again, left them a receipt so I didn't get killed, and a message he said I left over the phone. I'll see you in the morning. It's in my trunk. It's all tight. They would be with the money. It's so tight that the MNO business machine skates. Mr. President, once again, in Denver, Colorado, where the United Bank guards get killed, excuse me, four of them, back in around 1990, by John King, a cop who murdered and placed 150 bodies in Juarez, Mexico, in a big raid down there, that were Denver, Colorado, whistleblowers, witnesses, and other things against the crime syndicate cartel were buried there. John King delivered the bodies there. He also walked in, he was under camera outside the bank with his card to the security door, walks in, shoots security four bank guards and kills them. He's charged and got off. That's never charged, the state did. And it was a Jewish famous attorney, mob dog attorney, they got him off. It was all set up. Okay. What did they do? They stole $20 million, hired $20,000 from Leonard Mumm and Leonard Mazzola drug money from all the strip joints around Denver, Colorado, and all the bars that they own. If they sell cocaine over the counter, by the way, Mr. President, all you have to do is go up and say, hey, I want some coke. I saw some guy do it. I said, Jesus Christ, this is unreal. This is way back. And that went out with him. He said, man, he said, I like your coke. Did you do drugs too? I said, no, I don't. I drink on occasion. Don't do drugs. Why? He said, I'm going to show you. He said, I want a line of coke. He said, I'll show you something. The reason he's telling this is because he went to school with my ex-church doctor. And a friend, mutual friend, was the one that was with us. I said, my God. And this was a Pelican pizza, I don't know, some one of the hot spots there in Denver. I don't know. But generally,
yeah,
there's a lot. $1 of drug money, and the government can take everything from you. Larry Mazzola sitting with $100 to $150 trillion. He was the bank bailout snatcher, wrote $100 trillion worth of artificial mortgages, and started stealing people's houses back since 2008. And they derivatized these things, hiding the banks worldwide.
Stu, you're like a verbal tidal wave. You have so much information delivered so forcefully, I'm certain we're going to have lots of listeners who want to ask questions. I repeat the number, the call-in number. We'll be at the break in about 3-4 minutes. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452 with questions for Stu Webb or for me. Stu, go ahead. We got 4 minutes to the break.
No, I don't want you to pick it up here. Pardon me?
I've been fascinated hearing everything you have to say. Well, YouTube says it's going to ban accounts that promote Nazism or deny Sandy Hook massacre. I mean, the fundamental fallacy here is they say they're going to take down or deny the opportunity to post blogs or YouTubes that challenge what they call well-documented violent atrocities. But that just means they're going to endorse the official account. The official account is what's well documented. That doesn't mean just because there are lots of reports about it or fabricated evidence, take JFK and the Warren Commission, take 9/11 and the 9/11 Commission. Just because the official account is well documented doesn't make it true. So what Google and YouTube are doing is to adopt a strategy as a policy backstopping the official government accounts on all these matters in the name of standing up for official narratives that are well documented. Stu, it's completely outrageous, but that's what's going on. It's a wholesale massacre. They're taking down thousands of videos and whole blogs right and left right now as we speak.
I And you know, I saw a few months back, 2 months ago or something, you know, the stooge, Alex Jones. Lower Israeli stooge, governmental stooge, FBI troll. It's all intertwined, intermixed. I saw him all, Alex Jones is being sued. I said, he's the guy intentionally getting sued so they can put other people out of business. And the first thing I thought of was you, Jim. I thought, they're going to come after Jim. They're going to come after the highway patrolman. They put out some really good stuff in the beginning over that. And the stuff that you found was just phenomenal, proving it was a false flag. This is like Boston bombing, folks. There was false flag in there, besides some real stuff, okay? They've been doing a lot of strange stuff beyond what people believe. And it comes back to spirit clones. But, Jim, when I saw that, I said, Jim is on top of it. And I disagree with you on one subject, but I won't get into it. But when it comes to these false flags, you got this thing nailed down, buddy. You've been watching it, and you've been watching these other scandals. And I give you credit. You're one of the more brilliant ones out here. You're one of the ones people should be listening and making a hell of a lot of noise over it. I would imagine you do, still. I haven't talked to you in a while. I've been busy being students, having two heart attacks, and had to have a stent, and all this other crap here in the past 2 months, nearly dying, and told my father in nursing home, all kinds of crazy things they've done to us. But I know fire.
I have the great benefit of having lots of extremely good collaborators do all my research on all these subjects, from JFK to 9/11 to Sandy Hook to the Boston bombing. I bring together the best experts. Stu, we're going to be going to a break now, and I look forward to having you back in the second hour where we'll be taking callers, my friend.
Hey, JFK.